Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Rebecca from Massachusetts, and I listen to Mike, Michelle, and Chris Eliopoulos on the Mickey Miles podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 374 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Mac.
Hello, Mike. Mike and Mac in the
Mac
morning.
And Mac. How are you?
I feel so old now. 374. I remember back in the day.
Yeah. How are you? Do you have a shout out?
I do. I have a few. So the first one is to Celeste Baird, who ran the Big Sur Marathon. And I believe our buddies Rudy and Fitz are there.
Yep.
I want to say something about Rudy after I'm done with these shout outs, too. And then our other friend, Jessica Awatona, also did that one. And I have another one. Emma Godbold did the London Marathon. So that's awesome.
Wow.
And then my final shout out goes to a very special girl who, if I had a daughter, this is the type of daughter I would want. Maggie, who did her first 5K at Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And she's awesome.
She's awesome. Fast.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say thank you to Rudy because... I wasn't at the 5K, but apparently he gave me a shout out when I finished. And then I was at the 10K, but he called somebody else me. But luckily Carissa was there for the half, so he got it right. So anyway, thank you to Rudy. Rudy knows we love him.
So Chris isn't here today because of, I don't know, some excuse.
Oh, he's doing a really cool thing, Scholastic awarded a class a visit from him to read one of his Ordinary People Change the World books. So
yeah, and so yeah. Filling his shoes is a big tall order, but we always seem to come up with the
she's here a lot anyway.
The perfect person to
not
do
that
so.
It's boring, but
so we have asked, and she has come to help us talk about the Star Wars: The Dark Side race weekend from Monorail Media. It's Eve Vanderpool. Welcome, Eve.
Hey, how are you?
Recovered pretty much from the weekend.
Hey, Eve, you know, I was going to ask you to give a song, but now looking at your Facebook post, I want to give you a chance to tell us one of your Disney pet peeves before we move on. What do you wish people would not do at Disney?
Oh, yes. Walking down, this is just anywhere. I mean, things just good common sense. Don't walk down the middle of an aisle in a parking lot. Don't walk down the middle of a street. Stated aside, people tend to get in the Disney bubble and think, oh, I'm safe. And they just like walk down the center like it's all Main Street. But in fact, cars can kill.
Yeah. They seem to do that at Disney more than other places. Don't you agree, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
The, you know, like, la, la, la.
standing in doorways, standing in doorways. You know, just I'm with Eve on this. So it's one of many pet peeves, but
we just kind of laughed. We laughed a lot about it. Like we were That's just good. Driving, well, and we were actually kind of like, "Oh, this is priceless." What are you gonna do?
When you live a half a mile from the parks, Eve, I think I would laugh too, like you. So.
You got it. You're going to cry, you're going to laugh. Like
you yeah, you make a choice. Crowds
blind their way of life. Get used to it or move elsewhere, you know?
All right. So let's get right into it. We, all three of us, participated in one form or another at the Star Wars The Dark Side Half Marathon Weekend.
Inaugural.
Mm-hmm. And so we're here to talk about it. For those of you who are not able to be there, and maybe for those of you who are there, you could hear our perspective, and so let's start off with the expo and what we thought of the expo. Eve, what did you get to go to the expo?
I did. I arrived on
the way
Saturday.
The expo works for Eve is that they just hold out her bib and she just runs through like Roadrunner. Beep beep. Yeah. She never stops. She just goes beep beep. She gets beep, it beep. And runs away.
I'm gonna ask if that's an option. Yeah, I had to do emergency pickup for the 5K. Even though I live right here.
Did they charge you the $39?
Oh, no. I just did the morning pickup. I waited online. It was like 20 minutes, and then I walked to the corral. It wasn't bad. I had to go back to the expo the next day to pick up my bib for the half marathon, and then I picked up my T-shirt and everything from the 5K. But, yeah, it wasn't bad. And then when I went to the expo, it wasn't bad either, so...
Michelle, what did you think of the expo?
I think, Mike, we arrived kind of later, and it wasn't right when it opened. It was about noon or 1. I thought it was a great time to go. I think that we had a discussion about not going very, very early, and there was some switchbacks getting into the Milk House. Is it the Milk House or the Jostin Center? But I noticed there were a lot of people who didn't print out their waiver ahead of time, so there's kind of a long line for that. I was really a little bit confused about which line I was going in. There were so many races and so many combinations of races, but when I got into line for my bib, I think there were 4 people, and I think when you got into line for your bib, there were 40 people. Yeah. So I'm not really sure how that happens. I saw another friend of ours, Mike Trummel, who at least was a half an hour in line, but for me it was 10 minutes and it was really fast. And they had the shirts there, too. And I was able to do a shirt exchange there, so it went fast.
It was kind of interesting. It seemed like those people who were in my line, they almost every single one was having their photo taken for the challenge, be it the Dark Side Challenge or the Kessel Challenge. I just seemed to notice that almost every single person ahead of me was...
Getting their photo taken. Oh, because after we get our bib, you had to have your photo taken for proof of the challenge. So, yeah. And did you have to get it for the Kessel? You had a wristband.
I had a wristband in which they had to put on me and that. So I think that that kind of delayed some of the lines.
Yeah.
As far as the expo goes, it was your basic expo. I noticed
nothing super interesting
there. They're running out of colors for the shirts and everything. And they're running out of ideas.
I think there are more colors in the world that we haven't used.
One of the things that I did notice, I'm noticing more, is that I think that the most, and you guys can chime in, and we know friends who do this, I think the most popular Run Disney merchandise at these expos are the pins that people like to put on the lanyards.
Yeah.
I heard a lot about it. People were complaining because the pins were gone.
Yeah.
I know that Laura likes to get her pins. Laura Gilbreth, who's been on the show.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a pin person. I'm not a collector in general, even though I have many, many medals and shirts. But, I don't know. What did you think, Eve? You're not a pin person either.
Yeah, I'm not a merchandise person in general, like, just from their stuff. Because you get so many, like, race shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, like, it's interesting because I definitely noticed that there's no real way that they've tried, maybe, that I've seen to control people just going in and buying a lot.
Yes, yes, yeah.
I mean, maybe they've tried. It's just, I guess, ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
So I've noticed that because I've seen people walking out with just like tons of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, there's no way one person wants, like, I hope one person doesn't want all of that. Like,
right.
Yeah,
well, you know, you bring up a good point. There was no Run Disney merchandise at the Jostin Center, but the huge Run Disney store over in the, you know, where the expo was, the line, Mike, you and I walked through there, and there's every version of everything they ever want that says Run Disney on it now. I mean, it's really exploded, but the line was like 7 switchbacks.
Yeah, at one point I thought about getting a hat or whatever it was, Michelle, and I said, I looked at the line, I said, no thanks. So I think that it just
seems to be moving quickly, but it's just like, wow.
Yeah. But it just seems to reinforce the notion that if there was an online option, that, I mean, I'd love to see what's available online and purchase it before, then go there and pick it up somewhere.
Yeah.
I think even pick it up at my resort. So.
It's interesting to me because I'm not like a collector in any way. I do have a Boston Marathon beer glass that I covet. But somebody came up to me and said, there are no more wine glasses left. And it's just so interesting to me what people want to buy, because I never would think that I would need a Run Disney wine glass. Not that I don't begrudge anybody getting anything that they want, but they really do have everything except for bed sheets and designer toilet paper that you'd want from Run Disney.
Now that you mention it. I mean, you know, I can't believe they don't have their own brand of, like, Run Disney goo, or I don't know. Like,
right. I mean, there's...
Actually, yeah.
There's sweaty bands. There's pretty much everything that you'd want. So anyway, it was pretty typical. You know, nothing out of the ordinary. The speaker series was there. I think it seemed to flow very, very nicely.
Yeah, I think it was not the crazy frenzy that we see in January, but it was your basic...
it was smaller.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that was good. All right.
But there wasn't any, like, I didn't see... There was a little Star Wars stuff. I know that our friend Eddie McCoy got a Darth Vader Auburn shirt, but...
So no, Champion, he bought that in Auburn, didn't he?
No. They had it at the expo.
Oh, they had it
there?
Yeah.
There
were
some Champion Star Wars.
I saw that and immediately thought of him, too.
Yeah, I did, too. But then somebody had already, like, posted it on Facebook. But I didn't see a lot of Star Wars-themed things. Did you guys?
I think there was enough. But, I mean, I was looking for a Run Disney Star Wars running hat. And I couldn't find one, I don't think.
Hmm.
Or the Dark Side Challenge or whatever it was. But, you know, it was your basic expo. But, again, I think that they would probably realize a heavier revenue stream if they offered online ordering.
Maybe someday.
All right. Let's move to the 5K, which, Michelle, you and I did not run. Mm-hmm. But, Eve, I know that there was at least one person, and maybe two in your family, who ran the 5K, right?
Yes, all three of us did. And she, Maggie, my daughter, ran it. She is very serious before she runs. Like, she gets very, like, into, like, the race zone, and she wants to get right up there, and she doesn't want to stop. So we stopped her twice, though, for water, and made her kind of stop, and, you know, for a few seconds, and then she just, like, took off and wanted to run again. So she, like, ran that whole thing, like, straight through.
And remind us how old Maggie is.
5.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. And she trained for this?
Yeah. We run here and there, you know, like a few miles. And mainly I just have to pay. She's done a 5K before, but that one she kind of wanted to run however she wanted to run it. And she ran it too fast initially. So I have to, like, work on pacing with her. So that's what we work on, is just not how fast, it's just keeping an even pace. Because she doesn't like to stop, so mm-hmm. that was my thing, was just, okay, well, then you have to go slower and, you know, just keep an even pace. But we didn't, because of that, and because, you know, every time we'd, like, oh, you want to stop here? She's like, no, I'm running. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get to see too many characters, and she just kept moving.
So can you tell us what characters were there, or were you moving too fast?
No, I swear, we were actually breezing right through it. Like, we were constantly, and I kept my eye on her because she kept weaving in and out of tons of people. So unfortunately I did not get to see too many people, or people characters rather. But they were along the course steadily. I will say that.
One of the things that we heard, I don't know where we heard this, maybe it was in the expo. Maybe Rudy said it in the expo, we ran into him, is that the same characters were going to be on the courses all 3 days. Did you hear that at the beginning of the 5K?
Yeah, I heard that there's going to be duplication.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely know from running the half that there yeah. definitely was.
And but, for the 10K too.
Yeah, but you know what? I guess it's not all that bad if there are really big lines in the 5K. You knew that you could possibly get them throughout the rest of the weekend, you know? And then they have them afterwards, after the races.
Right, right. I should say that I think two of the most popular characters all weekend were BB-8 and Chewbacca. And they did have a tent just for runners and their families for BB-8 at the expo that you could go. They had this kind of circuitous, strange route where you had to go into the expo. Mike, do you remember that? We had to go down on the fields and around this whole field.
And I think there was a reason for that. The reason for that was that they wanted the participants to know that those tents were there for character photo ops.
There was an hour wait, though, when we were
But
there.
I mean before and after the races, because after the races, a lot of people did that.
Ah, interesting.
So I think that was one of the reasons why they had us do that.
So anyway, that's the first time I think I've ever seen a character before the race available. But that was huge lines, at least for the races I was at.
I think that decision was made as a result of what happened out in California, because they had to close the lines for BB-8 and R2-D2 and Chewie and everybody. And so they wanted to make sure that there were fewer complaints this year and that the availability of the characters would be there. And obviously, if you're wearing those costumes and you're in the Florida sun, you're not going to want to stay outside. So that's why they had those air-conditioned tents. So, Eve, was it a crowded 5K?
I felt like it was all along the course.
Where was the course?
We started in D, and it wound through went to the back of the parking lot and then hooked right the way the other, 5Ks at Start and Epcot start. And then it went through Mexico, the back parking lots, the cast member usual area through Mexico.
Yeah.
And then from there it went left around World Showcase and then back and then kind of wound just a little bit back past International, you go through the, International Gateway, the boardwalk entrance, and then went through that way through the front of Spaceship Earth and then hooked back towards Spaceship Earth and then finally left out towards the parking lot again. So, but I felt like it was congested all along the way. We started in D, there was a fair amount of congestion, and hence the reason I didn't see too many people. I was just watching her dart in and out of tiny little crowds and spaces that I couldn't quite navigate.
So she was like a family circus cartoon. She was just going from one spot to another. Wow.
Yeah, and she's like going through little spaces. I'm like, yeah, I can't fit through there, so I'm gonna. Yeah, exactly. But I feel it was fairly crowded along the whole way. They did a great job with water, though. There were a good amount of lines, though, for every character you want to see. I could see it easily taking a few hours to run the 5K if you want to stop for every, character, but.
Eve, do you recall, do you remember how the corrals were released, or what the span of time was in between the corrals? Any idea?
Well, I want to say it was at maybe 4 or 6 minutes. It wasn't the way it was for the half, where it's like every 2 minutes. There was a good amount of time in between. I'm pretty sure, because when we were coming in, we saw, you could see like, you could see that like there's a steady stream of people as far as you could see wrapping around World Showcase. So
Okay, it sounds like the 5K was.
Would you do it again?
I would absolutely. It's a really good chance for like families just to run through a World Showcase. A World Showcase in the morning or late at night, whichever. They have the flames going and all the buildings are lit up. So really, even if you don't care for the theme of the course, it doesn't matter. It's just a gorgeous course to run, and it's so much fun. Again, the on-course support, there's a lot of aid stations for how short of a distance it was.
All right. Was there Star Wars music around World Showcase?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed that on the 10K, too. So yeah. We're going to ask you to give it a grade. So A is off the charts, fantastic. F is Run Disney, what were you thinking? What would you give it?
I would say it was a B.
Okay.
I would say it's a B. They had characters along, but they also had a lot of just pop-up kind of statues that mm-hmm. you could pose with as opposed to having an interaction. I would say it was a B. But, I mean, I love the theme of the course, but, yeah, execution was a B.
Okay.
Okay, that takes care of the 5K. Now let's move on to the 10K. Eve, you did not run the 10K?
I did not. My husband ran it.
Okay, I know Phil was there with a bunch of our friends. So, Michelle, I guess it's on us.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the gathering. The course went from Epcot to World of Sports. So the option
was point-to-point race.
Point-to-point. Mm-hmm. So the option was you could drive in your vehicle to Epcot,
mm-hmm.
park your vehicle, and then run to run the 10K, mm-hmm. finish at World of Sports, and then take a bus back. There was no parking allowed at the World of Sports.
Okay.
The other option was to take a bus from your resort, if you were staying on the property, and have that bus take you to Epcot, run the course, and then at the end of the course, have a bus take you back to your resort. We decided to drive our vehicle, rented car, to Epcot and run and then take the bus back. And we'll get to that later. But first, let's talk about the course. How did you find the course, Michelle?
I found the course interesting. If you could open it up, because I don't remember. This was, I don't know, this probably... I'm not the hugest Star Wars fan. I like Star Wars a lot. I'll see all the movies, but I'm not like a crazy Star Wars person. I think the other thing that impacted it for me is for both of these days, I just was not feeling well. I just was feeling, it was a little bit too warm, and I decided not to run with water. I drink a lot of water, and I decided not to run with my water belt, and I felt like, for me, there weren't enough water stops. But anyway, it started at... outside of Epcot, and you actually ran into Epcot in front of Spaceship Earth. You ran kind of like counterclockwise around the World Showcase, and then out of Epcot, and then kind of through Hollywood Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that was about mile 3, not for very long, and then you headed to the World of Sports for your finish. And up that gravel path. As soon as I hit that mic, I thought, oh, I'm going to hear about this. Mike does not like the gravel path. I love the 10K distance. For me, I just wasn't feeling it. I don't stop at a lot of characters. I really, really enjoy watching other people stop at characters. I thought the mile markers were really kind of fun for the Star Wars fan. I didn't think there were as many costumes as I thought, Mike, that you had talked about in California. There was a limit on... what you can wear and what you can bring. It's a lot more limiting now. I know that lightsabers, there were a lot of lightsabers, but I liked it. I worry about this point-to-point thing. I think we'll get to this in a second, Mike, but it seemed really cool that we're going to 3 different places in Disney. I really, really appreciate that. I thought the corrals went off without a hitch. For me, it didn't seem very crowded, but for reasons that Mike, I'm sure, we'll talk about in a second, it lacked for me. So, Mike?
There were a total of 12,169 finishers.
Okay.
For the 10K, yeah, Eve, 12,000 people running that course. And so let's talk about the corral release. The corrals were released at approximately 6 minutes in between, which was interesting because that meant that For those in the back of the pack, they had to wait a long time. I was in the middle, and I think you were just one corral ahead of me, Michelle. And so we got to see what kind of an impact that course would have on mid-packers. If you ran in the first three corrals, I think you probably would have had not a compact, crowded course as those of us in the backpack had. It was very, very hard to run. If you're doing run, walk, run, sometimes you ran when you wanted to, and sometimes you couldn't run when you wanted to. Sometimes you walked when you wanted to, and sometimes you had to walk when you had to. So that was a little bit of an issue. The course was very interesting, and if you were in the first three corrals, I think it would be okay.
I was able to run the whole thing.
I don't know. I could have weaved. Well, if I could have weaved in and out, I could have run the whole thing like I did in January, but I just, you know, I was saving it for the next day. I had too much on the line for the next day. It was interesting. The course towards the end was interesting. A lot of us did not expect to see that gravel road.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Phil and Eddie, when they ran along that dark road. Eddie said he was running in the dark, into darkness, and there was no light. So that was an issue.
I don't remember any lights on there.
Yeah, I remember Eddie was talking about that. So that was a concern. But all in all, I mean, I think it's a good course. I think that
it's interesting. It's very difficult. Routes.
Yeah, it's so difficult. I think that the issue they always have is trying to figure out how quickly to release the corrals.
Eve, can I ask why you didn't do it? Is it because you were doing tag team parenting, or because you just didn't want to run the 10K?
No, I just didn't want to run the 10K.
You don't like that distance?
Oh no, I like the distance. I just, you know, when there's like a lot of people in on the weekends, and I live here for so many of them. I mean, it's just like it's kind of like an attrition. You know, after a while, I'm just like, all right, I don't want to wake up that many early mornings.
Yeah,
I don't, you know, at 2:30, I don't want to kind of just deal with like the running and then like everyone here. I'm like, I'll just pick the race that I want to do and like enjoy it or not do it. Like, I'm not doing marathon weekend next year. I just don't want to. Like, I just kind of enjoy the social. I end up doing like other races, like, but I don't know. I mean, you know, my husband's always like, you don't want to do it? I'm like, no, I just, you know, but I loved doing these two races, and I love doing the 5Ks with my daughter. I mean, you know, that's so fun. Mm-hmm. And like, I love the half. But yeah, and I actually do like the 10K distance, but I was like, well, I'd rather do the half. I just wanted like the most time on course, and I figured the half would give me that, and then the 5K would give me the time with my daughter, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then that would only be like two mornings waking up early, and so, yeah.
Yeah. We are only about halfway through our review of the Run Disney inaugural Star Wars The Dark Side Half Marathon Weekend with special guest Eve Vanderpool. We have still many more things to discuss, as next up is the half marathon and more. So we want you to join us in episode 375 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast to listen in. So for Eve Vanderpool of Monorail Media, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road in the parks. And oh yeah, may the force be with you.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, This is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.